This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Monday, the 29th of May. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Lily Chai, and
me, Rich Bradbury.
Today, we're talking about something a bit, I guess,
spooky.
Mythical, I would say. So it's about ghost jobs. This is not Ghostbusters.
It's not a job chasing ghost.
Of course it's not. But today we're actually talking about not all job openings are actual jobs, because a significant number of managers actually shared that the openings on job portals are kept active, but the jobs simply don't exist.
Huh?
Exactly right. So what is the rationale behind putting a job posting online for everyone to see with no intention to hire? So we are going to speak to Jack Kelly, the founder and CEO of WeCruiter, to discuss more about this and actually how, if people who are looking for jobs, how can you potentially avoid ghost jobs?
Now, I've heard of this phenomenon, but I didn't realize they'd called it ghost jobs. So if you haven't heard back from that job that you have applied for, it might be because the job is a quote unquote ghost job. And according to a survey done by Clarify Capital, who are an online loan company based in New York, they asked more than 1,000 managers regarding job openings at their companies. And the survey found that almost 70% of companies that had job postings active for more than 30 days.
Okay, to give a little bit of context, 30 days might sound insignificant to some people, because we always see job postings up for more than 2 months.
Yeah, right? Especially here.
So to give a little bit of context of a whole general idea of how long it takes for employees to actually fill a position, right? So according to a new report from Indeed and the Center of Economic and Business Research, a big percentage of job openings are filled within the first 30 days. And job openings that aren't filled during the first month will likely remain unfilled for the next 3 months or beyond. So, and the Clarify Capital survey asked these managers, why are you still keeping your jobs active when you know that you won't recruit, or right, you're not actively, you know, recruiting people into your company? And these are the top three reasons. 50% of managers say that the company is open to hiring new people. 43% of managers say that they want to keep current employees motivated with these job openings. I see you shaking your head there. And also, managers want to give the impression that the company is growing.
Okay. So obviously, you, Lily, here in the studio saw me shaking my head. And of course, that's because I'm a little bit puzzled by this. And I think puzzled is a polite way of putting things. There are recruiters who think that this strategy will just turn off applicants, but there are recruiters who say that the companies who are constantly looking for talent is a move that makes sense. Because, for example, and this is said by a founder of a digital marketing agency in the US called Fractal, that her company keeps ads up for associate positions even if they're not hiring. And according to her, this is for two reasons. Number one, the turnover for those jobs are higher than other roles. And number two, if the company suddenly needs to be in a position where they need to spend a lot of money on job ads to ramp up interest in those positions. And I pause here to think, if your company has a very high turnover for certain jobs, then I'm guessing that there's probably a problem within the company.
A job posting won't solve that problem.
Correct.
Right. And I feel like companies do have to look internally as to, like, if your turnover is really high.
Have a good hard look at
exactly,
yourself is what I would say, right?
Yeah. Not actively putting, you know, job postings out there and people reply and then they will leave as well soon. That's not a good idea. I think it's not good for the bottom line as well. And another thing is, some job ads have little correlation to actual job availability, because companies require that all jobs to be posted, even if a candidate has been predetermined either internally or externally. Rich, you talked about, you know, how the UK had laws like this, right?
Yeah, they did. They had this law, and even if there is no job physically available, if the job has been filled, they still have to put up an advertisement advertising that there is a position. And it became one of those stupid things in the UK where everybody was like, but why?
Yeah, but why?
Apparently there was a legal requirement to have to do this. You know, so that position could have been filled internally and they still have to put the advert up. So you get people advertising, people applying for that job, knowing full well, the managers knowing full well that the job's already gone. What happens if somebody has filled that role internally, yet you get an applicant who's far more qualified? What happens then?
Who knows, really? Right. From a job applicant point of view, I would imagine applying for a job is not just a few clicks away. Although, like, there are job portals that, you know, you have a your resume or your profile ready and you can just, you know, click a few things. But it's not that simple.
No.
A job application takes about, you know, half an hour sometimes to go through and vet through everything.
And it's a lot of work.
Of course it is.
And it can be disheartening.
Of course.
You know, and there are a few job applicants who did tell the Wall Street Journal, when they locate someone to talk to for jobs, they frequently hear that the roles aren't being filled at all. I mean, and this is something that we've been repeating since the beginning of the show. You know, it's just that the advertisement is just there for the sake of the ad, just being there.
And to me, one frustrating point of view from another company is that they are just reluctant to take it down because it is a signal for the public out there that the company is slowing down if they were to take it down. So to keep it there, it's a signal that, you know, we are still recruiting, we're still growing. And it doesn't, to me, it doesn't make sense.
But this sounds very much like that management speak, you know? We are, and I think the problem is that, as we just mentioned, it falls into two categories. If the ad is up and it's supposed to show people that, oh, the company's growing and whatever, and we're still currently recruiting, that may be. But it could also indicate, like the other woman said, that they have a high turnover and they need to, you know, so which one is correct? And as a job seeker, I think when you see a job posting, you don't see it as, oh, this company is expanding.
Of course.
You see it as, oh, there's an opportunity for me to join this company.
Yeah.
I think it's only the managers who might see that, or HR that might see that and have that thought.
Yeah. And to be honest, why couldn't it be done over an article and publish it in the local newspaper or whatsoever, right? Isn't that a better way to promote the fact that you are expanding?
Right.
If you're not, and is that a misrepresentation?
Right.
Right. So tell us about your frustrations when it comes to applying for jobs. But we are going to speak to Jack Kelly, the founder and CEO of Recruiter, to talk a little bit about this situation, right? To put people in such a dire situation. Do text reach us at our U mobile number 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. But for now, here's some music here on BFM 89.9.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Lily Chai. I'm here in the studio with, of course, my co-host.
That's me, Rich Bradbury.
We're talking about mythical jobs, ghost jobs, actually, because not all job openings are actual jobs. And a significant amount of number of managers did admit that some job openings are just kept active and those jobs simply just don't exist. And we are here with Jack Kelly, the founder and CEO of Recruiter, to discuss the rationale behind putting a job opening that has no intention to hire and recruit. But we do want to hear from you. What are some of the biggest frustrations that you have come across when it comes to applying for jobs, right? You can reach us at our WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. So I had this conversation with Jack earlier this morning, and here's the conversation. Okay, so Jack, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me here.
Right. So talk to us, right? What are ghost jobs all about? And give us a little bit of context. Are they just jobs that don't exist or positions that companies do not intend to fill?
You know, it's such an interesting question. You would think, you would hope, if a company posts a job online that is real and you could apply for it and the internal recruiter will contact you and say, hey, Jack, Lily, we want to interview you. Can you come in and have a conversation? But unfortunately, when companies, this is kind of like a dirty secret that people really don't know about, is that a lot of times when they post jobs, they're not real. Now, what I mean by not real, they're actually jobs, but there's no intention of finding somebody and hiring them right away.
Then what's the point of posting the job online?
See, you know, that's, you ask a great question, because it's like, all right, if you're posting a job, don't you want to hire someone? Well, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Here in the U.S. right now, we're going through some tough times. The economy is rough. There's been a lot of layoffs in the tech sector. There's about 200,000 layoffs alone. There's worries about a recession. We're concerned about being dragged into, you know, a war because of what's going on in Ukraine and might escalate. High inflation, record high inflation rates here. Interest rates are up. So everybody's a little bit on edge. Mm. And when you're on edge, when companies aren't happy to hire, when they're afraid and they're nervous. When things are good, think about like in 2021, coming out of the pandemic, when like there's a lot of enthusiasm, companies hired like crazy. Mm. And then people would switch jobs very easily because everybody felt super confident in the future. Now, not so much. So I think what happens, in my opinion, when they post the jobs, they're not really sure if they want to hire somebody, because they don't want to hire somebody and then 3 weeks later they have to fire that person because it turns out the economy worsens. Mm. And then they have to worry here in the U.S., I'm not sure how it is in Malaysia, we're a very litigious society. So then you have to worry, is that person going to now sue? Are they going to file a discrimination claim? Mm. So there's a lot of concerns. And another big thing is this too. When you post these jobs, oftentimes it's for other reasons. It could be A, having a pipeline of people for the future. Mm. And you're not going to really hire them now, but you're kind of laying the groundwork for maybe in a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. B, it could be where, because there have been a lot of layoffs, and here in the States, it's kind of like a white collar recession. Mm. In the past, when times were rough, it was usually the blue collar workers and the frontline workers who lost their jobs. Now, it's really the white collar people who are having trouble, particularly with artificial intelligence now taking jobs away. So what's happening is that the company will post that job and now they're like, oh, wait and see. Let's see who we can get. Can we get somebody cheap, less expensive? Can they do a lot of work and we don't have to pay them that much? Let's feel that person out. They'll put a job out there because of layoffs. Now you don't have that many people working in your group, and everybody's working extra hours. So you'll post the job to say, don't worry, we're posting a job. Rescue is gonna come, we'll take care of you. And to make the people who are still there feel more comfortable that, okay, we're gonna help. But really, there's no one coming to help. They're just saying that to appease them for the short term.
Hmm. Or I guess it's the other way around where, you know, if they do find someone that is more competent than the AI, then, you know, then probably there's a potential hire, I guess. I'm just
100%.
Right. But I guess we can't really get over the fact that almost half of the managers did say that, you know, they post the jobs online to, you know, give the impression to the public that the company is growing. So yes. We were discussing this earlier, like, why wouldn't it be better to just post an article in your local newspaper saying that, oh, the company is expanding? But why is it through a job posting?
Yeah, I agree with you, because you would think, okay, so really what's happening, as you mentioned, is that if you post a job, it makes it look like, wow, this company is doing really well. They're posting all these jobs. They must be successful. Mm-hmm. And it creates that image. But it's a Potemkin image. It's not real. It's a kind of a fake image. Now, what I take exception to is that it would be very easy, as you're mentioning, to say, we're posting this job. However, we're not sure, due to market conditions, if we're going to hire right away.
Hmm.
The economy is challenging. There's high inflation. So we want to be fair to job seekers, almost like a caveat, like an asterisk with a job listing, to say, we would love to hire somebody, but we want to be very transparent that we don't know how this is going to play out. So we may not be able to hire. So if you still want to interview, if you still want to send your resume, great. But please understand, we may not call you. Now, I think that would be more fair to do and more honest, right?
Right.
Because think about it. If I was a candidate and the company put a job listing, but put that note, I would respect them more.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would feel, you know what? my first interaction with this company, they're being brutally honest with me. Mm. You know, they could have shaded it, they could have colored it, they could have played around with the facts, but no, they were very honest. And I would respect them, and actually I would send my resume, and with the understanding I might not get it, but I appreciate, because I feel then if I get to work there, I'm going to know they're going to level with me throughout my career.
Mm. The transparency starts right off from the recruitment process, right?
Right.
But it's kind of weird that something that you touched on earlier where the job posting will signify like a rescue coming over to help out with the company. But how effective is this strategy really? Because I don't think as employees see that as a rescue, but the company needs help, but that's it. Is it really a motivator for us to work harder?
I think it backfires because people aren't stupid. What'll happen is this. So let's say I'm the manager, right? And I post this, you know, I post a job listing and say, and then I tell everybody on my team, yay, we posted this. We have it. Don't worry. We're going to get you help. And then a week goes by, a month goes by, 2 months goes by. And then the team is going to be like, what's going on here? And so they're going to realize I, as the manager, was just BSing them the whole time. And understandably so, you know, the workers are going to be all irate. They're going to be unhappy. Like, why didn't you just tell me the truth? It's just a dumb strategy because they're going to see through it eventually. Like, why do that? And this is the problem. I don't know how it is in Malaysia or in other countries, but here in the U.S., they do these things that you scratch your head and it just makes no sense. And job seekers, they are so angry. They're so frustrated because they just feel they're being, you know, they're not being treated fairly. They're not being treated empathetically. There's not a lot of compassion. Now, I'm generalizing. You can't say that for every company and every person, but enough of that happens. That is a thing.
I mean, the statistics show that it's almost 50% of the managers, right? I guess it's worrying in a sense that they're not addressing the employees' problems effectively. And another thing to think about is, you talked about this, about them having job postings and they just want to see whether there are candidates along like the 3 to 6 months line. But is this really effective for the bottom line? Because it costs money to actually post job postings online, right? So from your point of view, right, from an employer's point of view, is this really a good way to reduce recruitment costs?
I don't think so, because if you post it online, yes, you know, let's say you put on Indeed.com or LinkedIn or what have you, you're paying a certain amount of money for that. And if you have no intention of hiring, then you're just putting that money out there for nothing. And as I mentioned, it backfires because people get annoyed and the reputation of the firm takes a hit. Because what ends up happening, let's say you applied to a job and you never hear back. You're going to tell your friends and family and anyone else who will listen to you, like, don't send your resume to XYZ company because they don't even get back to you. They don't even have the courtesy to let you know. And so I think it hurts their reputation by doing this. Mm-hmm. So even if you feel you're saving some money by just posting a job and leaving it there, it has some blowback effects.
Mm. Ah, interesting things.
Yes.
But we do want to hear from you. Tell us your frustrations when it comes to applying for jobs. You can reach us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. But for now, here's some music. So do stay tuned here on BFM 89.9.
Baba from Malacca. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Lily Chai, and
me, Rich Bradbury.
Today we are talking about ghost jobs.
Not those ghost jobs.
Not those. We're talking about job openings that are not actual jobs because a very significant number of managers did share that job openings are kept active, but they are not actively recruiting people. Mm. So we're going to talk about the rationale behind this. And I spoke to Jack Kelly, the founder and CEO of Recruiter, to discuss all of this. And what should job seekers look out for to avoid applying for a ghost job?
I think if the ad has been up there for too long, it's most likely a ghost job.
But you can try your luck if you have, you know, free time on your hands. But this was the conversation. I feel like from this whole conversation, we can see like two parts of the repercussions, right? The first one is the internal employees get frustrated because nothing is getting done by the company to address their problems. And another one is from the job seeker's point of view is that they know that they are not hearing back from anyone, and then they will go around and spread the word about it, right? So I guess those are two of the biggest repercussions, you would say?
Those are. And let me give you another one, too, that's really interesting, because you mentioned about managers and how they act and what they think. Mark Zuckerberg is CEO and founder of Facebook now, you know, called Meta. He recently came out and said, hey, I don't want to have managers managing managers managing managers. Basically saying, I want to cut the manager. You know, there's just too many managers. There's too many cooks, and get rid of them. So to be fair to managers, they're worried about their own job. So you got to wonder, maybe they're not so inclined when they post a job to actually hire somebody. Because if they hire somebody, they may see, why should I keep Jack as a manager when maybe I found this resume of a person who is earning less money and they can maybe do Jack's job anyway, just get rid of him and we save some money. So I think this is one of these things that we don't talk about, but goes on. So the managers, they have to worry about themselves. They're not worried about the company. They're worried about their own job. So if they're going to find somebody to get hired right away, let's say the manager is making $250,000 and they find somebody who's making $70,000, $80,000, who's just a rock star, smart, brilliant young person, they're going to be scared that that young person is going to get the job for much less money. Right. So that manager doesn't have an incentive to do it because he or she's going to lose her job.
That makes sense, right? Now we think about it. And this is, again, something that no one talks about. Putting themselves, their own jobs at jeopardy, right?
That's just... Because, you know, you would like to think that if you're working... Well, people think you work for a company, so you're just going to toe the line and do everything for the company. But in my opinion, what's happened in the last few years when you had all these layoffs... Give you an example with Google. Google, probably one of the best, arguably one of the best... you know, run companies in the world.
Right.
You know, maybe the number one, maybe the number five, whatever. But they're, I think most people would agree they're one of the best, you know, companies out there. Just a few months ago, they made massive layoffs and they made it via email. So you would have people with, and I spoke to a lot of these people, like 20 years of experience and they get an email saying, sorry, you're not working here anymore. Or I've seen on LinkedIn when people would say they lost, you know, they lost their job. They were giving birth and getting an email saying that. So what happens, in my opinion, is when you start seeing all these layoffs, all these downsizings, you say, why should I be loyal to this company?
Right.
Why should I care? Because they literally would let me go with an email after 20 years and not have the decency or the courtesy to have a face-to-face conversation. So yeah, so to go back to what we're talking about managers, yeah, of course they're gonna look out for their own self-interest because they've learned, and here in the US, most people have learned, when companies say, we're a family, we all work together. They realize that's not the truth. The CEOs, the C-suite, they're going to still get their millions of dollars. They're going to still get their huge bonuses. Yet they're going to lay off 5,000-10,000 people at the same time and say, oh, sorry.
In just a click of an email, right? Not even like a conference together, not even a Zoom meeting. It's not, I wouldn't say, for lack of a better word, it's just not nice, right?
And especially when you're talking about top-tier companies, I could understand if it's a small company, you don't have the bandwidth. But if it's, you know, a large tech company or any large organization, you have hundreds of human resource people, you have hundreds of managers, you have hundreds of, you know, directors. You could really, if you wanted to, you could get these people to make sure they speak to everyone individually, what kind of severance they'll be getting. You know, and so, you know, how we can give you references, maybe we can introduce you to recruiters, to career coaches, to resume writers. These companies could do that if they wanted to, but they elected not to. And this is why I think what ends up happening, job seekers and workers start distrusting these companies because they feel, hey, you're posting these fake jobs. I send my resume to you. I don't hear back. I'm ghosted. It hurts my self-esteem. It hurts my self-confidence because I think, wait a minute, I'm looking at the job description and it has 10 ingredients. I have 12 of those ingredients. Why wouldn't you at least give me the courtesy of an email saying, Jack, thank you for sending your resume. You know, you look great, but maybe we're not hiring for whatever reason. Mm. But you don't even hear that back. So then after a while, you have this conflict between the employees and the managers and the executives because everyone's looking out at their own interests and the workers feel no one's looking out for their interests.
Yeah, yeah. But so do you think it's better to have like laws or regulations in place to remove or prevent managers or employers to post ghost jobs?
You know, it's interesting. I would say the short answer is yes. Mm. However, I'm not a big proponent of over-regulating everything because sometimes that gets out of control. But I think market forces should be such that if people see that, wait a minute, I see these, the jobs are staying online and they're not taking it down after months and months. So that if enough people bring this topic up, just like the conversation we're having now, and you multiply this conversation, it will embarrass these companies and force these companies to act differently. So I don't know if I'm really keen on regulation, which it would make sense. But, you know, I think market forces could be such where, and this is why I was so glad you asked me to have this conversation, because I feel I'm really standing up and being the voice for a lot of these job seekers who can't be heard or not being heard to voice what they're saying. And I hear it from them literally every day. So I think by doing that and bringing it up, it'll make companies realize, what are we doing? We're really not treating these people fairly. We're taking advantage of them. We're not being empathetic. We're not being compassionate. And maybe with enough pressure, they will start trying to do a better job.
But I guess that needs to take a little bit more time. And I guess for people who are actively looking for jobs now, what is your advice for these job seekers to avoid ghost jobs? Is it looking at, you know, how many months the job posting has been there or things like that?
Yes, exactly. You want to see if it's been lingering on there for months and months and months. Yeah, there's something a little fishy. If you have like a fantastic background that fits exactly and you don't hear back, that's kind of a sign. If you tried to get a hold of a person at the company with whom maybe you were interacting with and they didn't get back to you and they're ghosting you, that's a sign. A lot of what I've been saying could come across as kind of maybe feeling a little like negative. But I don't want to just be that. I just want to paint and be transparent about what's happening. But to answer your question, to be positive, if you're looking for a job, we're setting the stage that it's more challenging now. But it doesn't always stay the same way. It's not static. For instance, right before the pandemic, everything was great. Then we get into, you know, the pandemic, everything was terrible. Then coming out of the pandemic, like 2021 to 22, lots of jobs, so many jobs. You had the great resignation where people keep switching jobs because there's, you know, so much opportunity.
Right.
Now we go to a place where for white collar professionals, not so great. Give it time, it'll probably change again. So the reason I say that, keep focused. If you need a job, if you're in between jobs or you hate where you are or you want to find another job, it's probably going to be a little challenging and it may take a while. If people who got a job a year or so ago, their experience is going to be different. So if they tell you their experience, take it with a grain of salt because it's a different right. place we are now. And don't let that bother you.
And one thing is, we are just thinking about the statistics, right? Because here in Malaysia, the statistics department did like roll out yearly unemployment rate and job openings rate. So there are a lot of people who are unemployed, but there are a lot of job openings as well. Mm-hmm. So what impacts do ghost job have on the overall, you know, labor market statistics, and how can these distortions be mitigated?
I think there's one big distortion is this. Here in the U.S., and I guess it sounds like you have this in Malaysia too, we have something called the JOLTS report. It's a metric to see how many jobs are open. And if there are a lot of jobs open, then the economists say, wow, this is a great job market because look at all these jobs that are open.
Yeah.
And this brings us full circle to the beginning of the conversation, is that if you have these fake jobs that really aren't meant to hire people, it distorts what the real economy is looking for. Because if, let's say, on scale, you have, I'll make up a number, you know, you have 10 million jobs that are new. Like, wow, 10 million jobs. The economy is great. Everything is wonderful. But even if half or a quarter of them are not real, that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
So economists, Wall Street professionals are making decisions based on inaccurate data. Like, they would never even imagine that the conversation we're having, that this goes on behind the scenes, that a lot of these jobs are ghost jobs, they're phony jobs, they're fake jobs, in the sense that they're really not looking to hire people right now.
This is a weird world that we're living in right now, to be honest. But we talked about transparency. We talk about, you know, there are so many different websites now where employees are able to voice out things that happen in their companies, right? So how are companies managing the potential negative effects and repercussions and reputational-wise as well against the company, right, that is associated with ghost jobs?
You know, I'll give you a really great example. So I co-host a podcast, the Blind Ambition podcast, and it focuses on the tech world and what's happening in terms of hiring for tech, what's happening in compensation, what's happening with layoffs. And it's part of the Blind platform, which people could sign up for, predominantly tech people, big tech people. And when they sign up, they have to give their real email address where they work. But when they post, they do it anonymously. So what ends up happening is they will give the truth of what's going on in their companies. And then oftentimes what happens is, let's say a lot of people are trash talking XYZ tech company. XYZ tech company may go then to Blind and say, hey, what are they saying about us? Like, why are they so unhappy? So that's an example of not regulating things like we talked about earlier, but having the market forces where the companies realize these people, our employees are very unhappy and they're very angry and they're very resentful. We got to do something.
I guess this wraps up the whole conversation really well, because it's not, again, like you said, it's not a life or death situation, but it's something that we should take a hard look on, right? To not make the statistics skewed and really take a good look into what is happening in the labor market, and especially when it relates to the employment situation here in all countries, not just Malaysia, not just the US, but globally, right? So I guess, what is your take-home message for this whole conversation?
I think this is really important for job seekers and workers to hear. Sometimes the markets are challenging and it's unfortunate. However, what you need to do is you have to have a game plan. You have to decide, what kind of job do I want? What kind of career do I want? Then once you make that decision, here's what I want to do. You have to set up a goal. You have to set up a system to reach that goal. And then every day you have to work towards that.
Right.
And it might be some days it might be really tough. Maybe some days things are looking good. And then you just keep going and going and trying and trying and trying. Now, it sounds easy when I say that. I know and I respect it's hard to do, but that's the game. And I say game purposely because it's like anything else in life. You look at it as a game, even though this is real life and it's really important. We have rules. This is how people play it. And the way you need to play it is every day you have to show up. Every day you have to look for jobs. Every day you have to respond to jobs. You want to tap into your network and get leads from people. You want to find target companies. Find people you know who work at that company to put a good word in and make a recommendation for you. You want to find 1, 2, 3 good recruiters who specialize in your space, who can keep an eye out for you while you're doing your regular job. They're searching for opportunities for you. You want to have a mentor, a sponsor, career coaches, resume writers who could help you. You want to have that network who could be always looking at your behalf. So you don't have to go it alone. And then all you need, I'll leave you with this one thing. All you need is that one door to open. That's it. You don't need 100 jobs. You need just one job and that's it. And then you're back in the game and you're up and running. So just be confident. It may be challenging, but sometimes you're in the right place at the right time and just clicks and it's really super easy. But if it's not, keep trying. And I'm telling you, if you keep trying, it's a numbers game. Eventually you'll hit and eventually you'll find the right opportunity. And then once you get going, there's going to be nothing stopping you.
I love that. Thank you so much, Jack. This has been a very,
thank you.
A very fun conversation. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Aha. That was Jack Kelly, the founder and CEO of WeCruiter, talking to us about the rationale of ghost jobs and what you should look out for if you are actively applying for jobs now.
Do you think you've ever applied for a ghost job?
I think so.
I think I did once, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I'm not sure whether it's a ghost job or they are just ghosting me.
Right.
Right.
They just can't be bothered to get back to you, I think.
Yeah, they probably have screened through my application, but they just
didn't.
That's it. That brings us to the end of our conversation today. If you miss any part of this show, of course, you can go ahead on our website at bfm.my or the BFM app to listen to the full conversation. But don't go anywhere, though, because right after the 1 p.m. news bulletin, we've got a Breakfast Grill replay, so do stay tuned for that. We'll be back tomorrow, same place, same time. I'm Lily Chai with Rich Bradbury, and this has been Enterprise Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.